Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and there shall be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows. It is written, men fainting for fear, and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. It is written, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It is written, but when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh.
For God is just a prayer away.
But take heed unto yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Oh, there is much to make us sad in this dark world of ours. The serpent's trail is often seen among the fairest flowers. But we must never yield to grief or falling hopeless lie. We'll fling our banners to the breeze and the Maranatha cry. What though the host of hell be strong and bold in what they say? The Lord of hosts is on our side. We're sure to win the day. The victor of the cross and tomb is seated now on high. And we'll fling our banners to the breeze and Maranatha cry.
For God is just a prayer
away. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled, Do You Really Believe That Jesus Is Coming Again? I know that thousands of you listening to this broadcast at this time believe that Jesus is coming again. But the question before us is, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? Evidently, He is coming as far as the testimony of Scripture is concerned. Consider the following statements from the inspired Word. Jesus said to the high priest Caiaphas, Henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Listen to Paul as he tells us, The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. How about John in Revelation? Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. Then Jesus said himself, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render unto every man according to his works. Paul again said in Thessalonians, In an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Remember the familiar statement of Jesus, how he said, If I go, I come again. And then in the last chapter of Revelation, he said three times, Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And then the last prayer in the Bible as prayed by the Apostle John, Even so come, Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it is abundantly evident and clear that the Scripture teaches that Jesus is in fact coming again. At his return, every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. Every eye will have a close-up look at him. Look at the news on television, and you see the news anchor reading the news and looking directly at you. At the same time, there may be 40 million other people looking at the same man on the same program, and yet it seems as though you are the only one he sees. Now, God's great television screen is the sky. And when the Lord descends from heaven, every Christian will see him as though the Lord has come down out of heaven for him personally and no one else. The coming of Jesus will also be a personal coming for the person who spurned the pardon of Jesus. Saint and sinner alike will get a close-up look at the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. What a glorious day that will be for the Christian. I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. But the question before us at this time is, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? That question we will ask several times in this message. We believe that Jesus is coming again, but we don't really believe he would ever come on Sunday. Several of the appearances after the resurrection of Jesus were on Sunday, the first day of the week. The church began on Sunday. The Lord's Supper was observed on Sunday. A special offering was taken in the churches of Galatia on Sunday. John wrote the book of Revelation on Sunday. What a grim joke it would be if the Lord would stage his return on Sunday. We have ample warning in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh. Listen to that again. As the manner of some is. Evidently, absenteeism at the worship hour has always been a problem. Here is a partial quotation from the sermon of a preacher whose name was John Chrysostom, who lived in the latter half of the 4th century. He died around the year 406 A.D., Quote, he said, there are chariot races and satanic spectacles in the hippodrome, and our congregation is shrinking. I exhorted you and encouraged you not to inflict on you this outrage, which comes from satanic spectacles, as it seems no profit comes from this exhortation. See how some have rushed away today and have run off to the hippodrome. They have cast out of their minds the feast of salvation on the day of the resurrection. Unquote. We are still at it today. It is not only the pagans, but also the Christians who joined them. The dominant cry on the Lord's day is not, Praise God! Amen. Hosanna. Glory to God. But touchdown. That ball is out of here. Think of the five awful results of absenteeism at the hour of worship in Hebrews 10. Number one, expectation of judgment of fire. Number two, trodden underfoot the Son of God. Number three, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith ye were sanctified an unholy thing. Number four, you have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Number five, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember all of this and the warning so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again and that he might come on Sunday? Again, we ask the question, do you really believe that Jesus is coming on any other weekday, Monday through Saturday? Consider this statement of Peter in his second epistle. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Then Peter adds this statement, seeing then that these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Jesus said that his return will be as the lightning that cometh from one part of the heaven and seen unto the other part of the heaven. We know that every time the lightning flashes, there is always a clap of thunder. Think then of Peter's words about the heavens passing away with a great noise. That great noise may be the celestial thunder of the passing away of the heavens that will accompany the lightning fast return of the Lord. No wonder Peter said, what manner of lives ought we to live in all holy conversation and godliness? I heard of two men one time in a church who were really mad at each other, and several other mutual friends exhorted them to remember the scriptural warning, let not the sun go down on your wrath. So they shook hands and forgave each other. And then one said, all right, I will forgive you, but if the Lord doesn't come back tonight, I'll beat the daylights out of you tomorrow. What manner of lives are we to live? Is there anyone who would want to be found looking at a pornographic magazine when the Lord returns? What manner of lives ought we to live? Is there any particular program on television you would rather not have Jesus find you watching at the moment of his lightning fast return? Jesus said, let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning, and be ye yourselves as men looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may straightway open to him. If he should come today and find my hands so full of future plans, however fair, in which my Savior had no share, what would he say? If he should come today and find my heart so full, so weak, my faith so weak and dim, I had not even looked for him, what would he say? If he should come today and find I had not told one friend about that heavenly friend, whose blessings all my ways attend, what would he say? If he should come today, would I be glad? Real glad? Knowing that he died for all and none through me had heard his call? What would he say? Ladies and gentlemen, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again and that he could come during one of the days of the week Again we ask it. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? And this time we say, yes, we believe he's coming, but only in a limited sense. He is coming directly over our particular congregation, coming only for our preacher, our elders, our deacons, our Bible school teachers, and other members. Jesus is certainly not interested in anyone else. If we believed otherwise, how would that affect our missionary program? Another reading of the Great Commission needs to be heard by such Christians. According to Matthew, Jesus said we were to teach all nations. According to Mark, Jesus said we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then to make it plain what he meant, he said preach to every creature. In the book of Acts, just before he ascended, Jesus said, the preaching should begin in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and then he said to the uttermost part of the earth. Now count all the places where Jesus said we are to preach the gospel. 1, to every nation. 2, to all the world. 3, to every creature. 4, to the uttermost. 5, to every part of the world. Evidently, our vision of lost humanity has been narrowed down to the confines of the church lot. But Jesus wants to be more than a hometown God, more than our own personal tribal God. He wants to be the God of all people everywhere. The gospel song says it for us. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light. You see, when the Lord ascended to heaven in Acts 1, the apostles were left looking up into heaven, staring up into heaven. The two men in white apparel asked, why stand ye here looking into heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot stand on tiptoe all the time, scanning the heavens, waiting for the Lord to return. There is work to do, so let's get with it. However, as we live day by day, there needs to be that thought in the back of our mind. Jesus is coming again. Someone writes to me frequently and always ends his letter with this statement, perhaps today. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? I ask that question again. We really believe that Jesus is coming again. But he won't come until it won't interfere with any other plans we have made. Jesus speaks at this point regarding our busy lives in the book of Luke in speaking of the last days, just before his return, when he says, take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and the day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come on all them that dwell upon the earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may be able to escape all these things. And I shall come upon the pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Ladies and gentlemen, our hearts today are certainly overcharged with the cares of this life, and fulfilling our own personal agenda, ignoring the coming of the Lord. One time I tried to emphasize this in an advertisement for a special program we were having for an evening service. I advertised it in the newspaper telling the various details of this particular program. Along with the advertisement, I mentioned that I personally would not be able to attend this important service because I had a previous invitation to attend a dance in a nearby city and, of course, would not be able to be present for this very important church program. But I urged all other people to attend even though I would not be there. I would be at a dance. Of course, I was being sarcastic, because I knew most of our members would have missed the service under the same circumstances if there was anything else that possibly could come up. On the night of the program, of course, I was present as usual. But after the services, there was one man, as he left, who said, "What are you doing here tonight?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I thought you went to a dance." He actually believed I went to the dance instead of being present at the services. Why should he not think it? That's what most of the rest of them would have done. Anything and everything takes precedence over the program of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? One more time we ask it. Many do not really believe that Jesus is coming again because they have never really been convinced that without the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and their acceptance of Him as Lord and Savior, they have no hope of eternal life. Before anyone can accept Christ and obtain salvation, there must come to the conclusion that they are in fact lost and damned to hell sinners. In the early days of this radio ministry, we received a letter from a man who was listening to this broadcast while driving along the highway. He wrote and said he realized he was lost. He said as he drove, he was not paying any attention to where he was going, and he drove 40 miles out of the way and got lost listening to this program. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are trying to do, trying to get people lost. If you are driving today, I hope you arrive, before you arrive at your destination, I hope you get lost first. Perhaps the Apostle Paul can help you understand what being lost means. Let's check it out in the third chapter of the book of Romans. He said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some of you may not think you have fallen short of the glory of God, considering what you think is a good life you've lived. But Paul said, all have sinned, and that means you." Now listen to what he said about you as he describes the human rascal. He said, "We have laid this charge before you. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Just look again at some of those accusations. Man, left to his own devices, has a throat that before God is an open grave. What a stench that must be in the nostrils of God. Their tongues are full of deceit. Did you know you are deceitful? The poison of the asp is under their lips. Some of your speech is as poisonous as a rattlesnake. Then think of that mouth of yours. It is full of cursing and bitterness. That is God's description of the unredeemed. Peter tells us how Jesus saves the lost in his first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Many people are not convinced that they're lost. You cannot be saved until you are convinced you need a Savior. On that day of Pentecost, the day the church was born, he said, "Jesus worked many wonders and signs and then was delivered up to be crucified. Then God raised him from the dead." Those who heard that message that day were so overwhelmed with fear, they cried out for mercy and said, "What must we do?" And Peter told them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added to them in that day about 3,000 souls. Ladies and gentlemen, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again. He will come perhaps at morning, when to simply live is sweet, and the arm is strong, unwearied by the noontime toil and heat. When the undimmed eye looks upward on the shining heights of life, and the eager heart is beating, yearning for some noble strife. He will come, perhaps, at evening. Gray and somber is the sky. Clouds around the sunset gather. Full and dark the shadows lie. And we long for rest and slumber, and some tender thoughts of home fill the heart with vague, sad yearning. Then perhaps the Lord shall come. Oh, if he only finds me watching in the morning's early light, in the fierce and fiery noontide or the coming of the night, if he only finds me watching, waiting for his sudden call, then his coming, when we think not, will be the sweetest hope of all. Do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.